Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And we're getting reaction today to a declaration denounced by scientists but embraced by the Trump administration, according to reports. It's a petition with many private signers claiming that reopening countries and letting the young and healthy get the virus while keeping the vulnerable shut away is the best way to create herd immunity. Again, scientists have discredited this theory. A former Harvard doctor compared it to mass murder on CNN today because of the number of people that would die. This week, the World Health Organization's chief, Tedros Ghebreyesus, called the approach immoral.
Allowing a dangerous virus that we don't fully understand to run free is simply unethical. It's not an option.
Dr. Michael Osterholm is director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Michael, this petition, the Great Barrington Declaration, comes from a libertarian think tank, again arguing getting the virus brings immunity. Why are people in medicine in an uproar?
Well, the only way we can really state the conclusion about what this will mean is it's just plain dangerous. We could expect to see 3 to 4 times the number of deaths that we've already had in this country if that were to play out. In addition, it is not based on any good science suggesting that somehow you can bubble the well people who will, in fact, not have serious illness and those who have underlying risk factors that would have serious illness. It's just, it's pixie dust thinking.
No, because first of all, you don't know. Somebody who might think they're healthy may not know they have a condition. We've heard stories of people who are tremendously healthy. Doctors are puzzled, have no idea why those people, you know, couldn't breathe, went on ventilators and died. But talk about how viruses work, because aren't there some illnesses that maybe do not recur and perhaps herd immunity might be a solution, but others, like, you know, coronaviruses, colds are coronaviruses. We know they come back every year. So the immunity doesn't last. Isn't that one of the problems with this virus? We don't know if immunity lasts.
Well, we will achieve, in a sense, herd immunity. That's not an issue. It's like gravity. It's going to occur. The question is, how does it occur? Is it through natural disease where then we count on the immunity coming from actually having the infection, or will it occur through vaccination? And regardless of whether or not it's through natural disease or vaccination, we are going to have to deal with this issue of durable immunity. How long might it last? But remember, we don't have durable immunity with influenza, and yet we get vaccinated every year and we prevent many, many thousands of lives from dying because of influenza. So I think that that's the real message we're getting across here, is that no one is suggesting that we aren't going to have to deal with this virus in a way that on a population basis, most of us will be immune someday. The question is how we get there.
So you can get vaccinated and get immunity, or as you're saying, you can get sick and it's kind of like a roll of the dice. You might die, but other people might stay alive and we can get immunity that way. In the long run, we don't know how long that will last, but of those two ways to get immunity, it sounds like using the vaccine and having fewer people die seems like the better idea, is what I think I hear you saying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The really important message here is that if you get infected with this virus, you may not die, but you may very well develop another condition called long haulers, which is a chronic condition, which we're now seeing in anywhere from 20 to 30% of people who had mild illness at the beginning of the course. But by week 5 or 6 post-illness, they actually now are experiencing severe chronic fatigue syndrome-like pictures. If you look at their chest x-rays, they have damage to their heart and their lungs. And so we really haven't fully understood yet exactly all of the negative impacts of being infected. I would much rather achieve my immunity, even if it's short-lived, through a vaccine, with the idea that then I would get booster doses over time. Going at this by just facing infection as the answer is just not based on any credible science.
But Michael, we just have to ask you quickly, the website of this declaration calling for herd immunity claims to have 9,000 signatures, as we said, most are private, but some public. Biophysicist and Nobel laureate Michael Levitt from Stanford, Dr. Cody Meisner, professor of pediatrics, an expert on vaccine development at Tufts. Those are big schools and big names in some cases. What do you say to people who say, see, they believe in this?
Well, I think the first thing you have to look at is who signed that. no one with credibility in the area of COVID research and development, anyone who is coming from the public health world that has had to deal with COVID on the front lines are signing that. We've seen people who are well outside of their area of expertise who will sign on as a social event. So to me, I think the World Health Organization, the NIH, the CDC, thousands of people who are truly the public health experts on infectious diseases, not only have not signed it, but absolutely oppose it as dangerous.
Dr. Michael Osterholm, Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Thanks as always.
Thank you.